life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, Crayon Chin-Chan, my moving story, Cactus Attack. Thanks for listening. On today's show, we are joined by Aaron Long to talk about the 2015 Crayon Chin-Chan movie.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron.
Woo!
It's 2017.
Happy to be here.
Yes, and here we are to talk about Crayon Chin-Chan. And this is a synopsis I had to write because we watched it via the evil powers of the internet, so there is not a readily available English synopsis. I think there may have been, because I suspect it did have a readily available English name, I'm guessing for India. So there may have been, if I'd looked harder, there was probably an official synopsis. But hey, this is what I wrote. When Hiroshi is promoted to branch manager, the family have to move to Madaqueli Ovacar in Mexico.
I just want to applaud that because I was worried about saying it.
I'm not entirely sure that's how they pronounce it in the film, but I had a run-up at it.
I'm not sure they pronounce it right in the film anyways.
No. Anyway, Hiroshi is expected to strike a deal with the town's mayor for the sweet nectar produced by a new cactus discovered in the town. However, all that goes out the window when the cactus turns out to be of an ambulatory flesh-eating variety.
Ambulatory?
Yes.
Mm.
I believe that's what they'd, that would be the biological term.
Okay.
For something which can move around.
I'm not going to question this. I'm just
a $5 word.
It is.
Yeah.
This time out, we're being directed by Masakazu Hashimoto, who did the Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva. And I think some other Shin-Chan work. I think just to assume everybody who I name has also done other Shin-Chan work. Because they have. It is written by Kimiko Ueno, who I was introduced to from all her Space Dandy scripts. And storyboards by Masaki Iwasa, the director, Suichi Masui, who's director of Chaika the Coffin Princess, one of Anthony's favourites.
Yeah, I do like that show.
And Wataru Takahashi, who the main thing they've worked on is other Shin-Chan stuff. And the Mexico character's designs are by, don't know how to pronounce her name. Eun-Young Choi, is that right?
Oh, Eun-Young Choi.
Eun-Young Choi, there you go. Yes, so she's...
I'm basing that on the character Eun-Young in Arrested Development. I think that is how it's pronounced.
Yes, so yeah, she's done all the Mexico characters, I believe, were hers. And we've got some guest cast. There's the mayor, played by Hiroaki Hirata, who's best known for playing Sanji in One Piece. Carolina, played by the singer Maya Sakamoto, who is best known for playing loads of things. I think Anthony might know her from as Merlin in Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins, okay.
I watched a bit of that lately. It's so bad.
Whoa! You sure we're talking about the same thing? Well, we definitely are. We probably are.
Yeah, we
are. Ah, damn.
Oh, I can see how you think it's so bad. I mean, I like it, but at the same time, it is incredibly derivative.
I can't stand it. Sorry to derail.
There's a mariachi played by Daisuke Namikawa, who's the new Goemon Ishikawa. Rainbow Mask, played by Kenyu Horiuchi, and then I forgot to write down what these other people are known as. I think he's currently the main character in Onihei, and he's Kinemon in One Piece. And there's a character called Smartphone Girl.
Oh, that's actually what her name is.
I believe so in the cast list, pretty much, yeah. It's like a shortening of Smartphone and then Chan at the end, yeah.
Because that's what I wrote down. Smartphone Girl was annoying, but then I didn't even bother looking up what her actual name was. So I'm glad I was pretty much right.
And she is a member / manager of Japanese idol group HKT48's Team H, apparently.
Is there a Team E, F?
I don't know.
Should be.
Apparently she was demoted from AKB48 because of some sort of scandal.
Oh, actually, I had a friend who was into AKB48 who mentioned some sort of scandal. I think a lot of the members get into scandals, though.
Yes, apparently she allegedly had ex-boyfriends.
I think that's the entire scandal. Yes.
What, that's a scandal?
Yes.
They have to stay pure.
Yeah, if they've signed something in their contract to say.
Wow. Scandalous.
Oh, she's now married, though, so there you go.
They should kick her right out of this new group, then.
Well, maybe that's a group for everybody who's in relationships.
That's the people who've been kicked out of AKB48.
Yeah, so this is her only anime role. So, right, what do we think of this? I know Anthony has got opinions, but let's hear Aaron's first.
Well, I liked it, but I didn't think it was among the best Shin-Chan movies that I'd seen. I wasn't as keen on it as the last one, Robot Dad.
Okay.
It felt fine, but nothing too special for Shin-Chan. For me, at least.
How about you, Anthony?
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I was watching it and I was thinking, is this it? Is this really it? I didn't think it was as funny as it could have been. Like, there is funny things and it's definitely still Shin-Chan, but I feel it's lacking something. I don't know what. Maybe it's because I've only just watched it yesterday and maybe I hasn't had time to stew, but it's, as you say, it's not as good as Robot Dad, which I was just saying to Brian before, which may well be my favourite at this point now.
Yeah, that's
it had potential. Yeah, like early on, I was like, this is going to be great. And then there's a bit of emotion at the start, and they just throw that out the window.
Yeah, it really didn't have the emotional depth of the Robot Dad one for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would agree that. But I think it's a better put together story than.
Oh.
I think the beats of the story flow better than the Robot Dad ones. But yes, it doesn't have. It is not interested in giving you a message like. The Robot Dad one or the Millennial one.
Jungle. Oh, right. Yeah,
the Jungle one, don't think that's got a message either. Yeah. But this one is just interested in being a genre piece. It's them in a horror movie.
Hmm. But they do try, or they do initially, like early on, it's like, oh, this is going to be a tearjerker.
When he's leaving Japan.
Yeah, and I was like, this is what, I was totally on board at that point. And it's just unfortunate, because I like my sad, like, emotions and stuff, and it just
didn't. They should have cut back to Kazuma crying by himself.
That would have made it way better.
I think they were just doing that to provide the contrast and the surprise, I guess, if you hadn't seen a trailer and knew exactly what was going to happen in the film, to the actual storyline, where it's not about that at all. It's about being chased by man-eating cactuses.
Which on paper sounds perfect, but I don't know. I don't know what it's missing, and that's. I wish I had more time to think, but I just feel it's lacking something.
I think it could have been a little tighter. It was probably about 20 minutes longer than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an hour and 35. There was a point where it hangs on longer. There you go.
I thought it was like 2 hours.
Oh God.
I thought it was fine. I thought it moved at quite a nice pace.
I think it's just there's some bits towards the end that I feel like they're going over stuff that we already know, like to hit home. And maybe I'm being overly critical, and I shouldn't be overcritical on a Shin-Chan film. It's still good fun.
It's never going to be totally about the plot.
Exactly.
Are you thinking maybe it's got one scene too many where they're holed up in a building from the cactus?
Yes.
There is a lot of that. Yeah, it is towards the end that you start to feel like that it gets a little repetitive. Most of the way through, I'd say the first three quarters are fine.
Yeah.
And the big ending is pretty good.
The ending is great, yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You almost think maybe they wrote backwards from wanting that ending.
Yeah.
Of a giant cactus fighting a bouncy castle. So
you liked it, Brian.
I did, yeah. I preferred it to the Robot Dad one.
Mm. Whoa.
Like I say, if the Robot Dad one has more emotional heft, I will agree with you, this does not have any emotional heft at all. What it has is fake and is purely to sort of drive home how much that other kid is in love with Shin-Chan. but they direct it really well, and I like the fact there's a lot of sort of very normal movement in the bits in Japan. There's nothing totally crazy in the Japanese scenes.
Yeah, they do a good job of sort of setting up the normalcy before disrupting it. That's true.
And there's kind of like more sort of physical expressions of love towards Shin-chan from his parents that you normally see in these things. Like when they put him back to sleep and Misae's holding on to him as he falls asleep. It's like, yeah, that's... It creates an, yeah, like I say, normalcy that you don't normally see, and that's just there really for them to disrupt it once they get to Mexico. And also, there's a lot of use of shadow in Japan, and then there's the blazing sun in Mexico, so everything, you can see all the colours once you get to Mexico. Alright, the random cameo by people who appear on TV this time round is Nippon Electrical Union, or Nippon Electrical Rengo.
What was it? I watched the video that you put in the show notes, and I still don't really... Why them? Why
because,
those two?
Because the previous year, one of their characters' catchphrase, Dame Yo Dame Dame, was one of the buzzwords of 2014, it was voted.
What, so it had to be in...
No, it didn't have to be.
And what was the buzzword? Is that what they keep saying to each other?
Yeah, that's what. Well, no, that's what the who we'd have to presume is a robot because the cat just spatter out. So the gimmick appears to be like an old man who's trying to charm a robot woman. I don't know. And whatever he says to her, she's like, "No, no, no way, no, 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 no." And the other part of the gag is they're both played by women. The one saying Dame Yo Dame Dame has like this sort of mime caked on white makeup on her face, and the old man is basically a woman with old man wrinkles drawn on her face with pen. And they're a comedy duo, and they do various characters, but that was the one which caught on in 2014 to the point where it was like parent, you can drag parents in by saying, look, that comedy group you like are in this film.
Do you think that worked on anybody?
Well, they keep on doing it, so yeah.
I'm trying to ask, like, do you think people in the cinema like burst into applause or like found that hilarious when they were on? Or
yeah, they used to.
I was like, what's going on?
There was somebody who was translating some of their sketches, but that channel seems to have gone. So I assume their management team put a stop to that. But looking at some of their other stuff, they do have like a wide variety. The featured video at the moment is them doing a rap.
I thought that's the only one I watched, so I thought they were like a musical group, like a weird.
No, a lot of it's sketch. Lot of it's them dressed as men. A lot of it's like really not over the top, but like very lo-fi makeup. Just like drawing pen. Well, as you see in the music video, one of them has just got like a red felt tip pen beard on.
Like, it looks so cheap, but it kind of works.
Yeah, but yeah, they just show up in this film and have no bearing on the plot at all.
Well, no, that I think plays a very important part because we understand that they'll only eat humans.
Well, we knew that already.
Living. Well, I guess
we'd seen them spitting out
the helicopter. Is that before the helicopter?
I can't remember, but we've seen them spitting out other stuff before. When the very first thing. They were eating when they were eating the mariachi band.
They were spitting out the instruments.
Yeah, of course.
That's right.
Do you guys find it weird the way they treated people speaking Japanese?
There's one character who apparently Hiroshi thinks speaks Japanese, but he's only learned a set number of phrases, and yet Hiroshi never catches on. That he's just a limited number of
his name Jose.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot because I was trying to do some Japanese in Rosetta Stone a while ago, and I didn't get that far into it. But one of the phrases I learned was that Daijobu one that he kept saying. It means sort of no problem.
Yeah.
So every time he said it, I went, "Hey, I get it."
But then they quickly explained that the family have learned Spanish, and therefore everyone can speak Japanese from now on. Except that guy, who continues just saying his same Japanese phrases over and over again.
Yeah, that guy making every time that guy showed up, it sort of brought back in my mind, oh yeah, it's weird that they're all speaking Japanese, but it's supposed to be Spanish, but he's still speaking Japanese, and it's supposed to be Japanese.
But it kind of works, as he's saying it in the same way each time, and he has the same sort of thumbs up, pointing body language.
It's a pretty funny gag.
It is, yeah. the mayor, I think, was my favorite of the new characters.
Because, is he the one with the giant head?
He is, yes.
It's so big at times.
It's like bigger than Shin-Chan. He could swallow him whole.
And he is worse than Mayor Larry Vaughn from Jaws.
It's a very similar sort of role in the story, yeah.
Yeah, because the entire town, but for, I think, four people, have been swallowed by cactuses. And he still thinks he can make peace with these cactuses. And he can bring profit and fame to his town.
I like the sheriff.
He's eternally optimistic.
All about the sheriff for me.
Well, yeah, yes.
At first, I thought he was just a goof, a rubbish goof. But then you get that one scene, which is awesome.
Yeah,
the sheriff was the guy. He looked like Johnny from Tatami Galaxy, right? Or
yes,
like Woody from Toy Story, sort of.
Yeah.
Him and the. The wrestlers seemed like the characters who most seem to have stepped out of a Masaaki Yuasa.
Yeah, I love that wrestler rainbow mask. Yeah, the moment where Shin-Chan puts the upside down stool underneath his bum was probably the moment I laughed the hardest in the whole thing.
Why did you do that? I thought you wanted to sit down.
Something about the timing of it is just perfect, I thought.
Also, no point in the film do they explain why these cactuses wander around and want to eat people.
It never came up.
No, well, that guy just explained they're probably a new variety of cactus we've never seen before.
Well, humans have been eating their fruit, so it's only fair that they have their revenge.
Well, yeah, maybe the fruit is so juicy because it grows from the bodies of humans.
It's like Soylent Green.
I would love to try one of those pieces of fruit. It's like a dragon fruit looking thing, and it's... I wanted to try. Because I didn't know what it was going to be about. I knew, obviously, from the title, but I thought the humans were going to kind of get possessed by eating this stuff.
And turn into cactuses?
Well, perhaps, or like become zombies themselves and like kind of help the... I don't know. But I thought there was going to be more to do with that nectar than there was. But that's not a complaint.
Yeah, I think it's a Doctor Who story where people turn into cactuses.
Of course
probably,
there is.
Probably.
I just remember the cover of the novel as a child freaking me out. So I don't think I ever read it. It's like Tom
I wonder
Baker
if it was as funny as this one.
Probably not, no.
Do you think Doctor Who farts in it?
I doubt it, no.
Filled up the TARDIS with...
Nor does he fight Daleks by waving his smelly socks at them.
I always like when they bring in the dad's smelly socks.
Yes, yeah. And
it comes in as very convenient to the story often.
Yes, but they also make sure to seed it every time. So yeah. To remind you and also introduce any newcomers that this is a established fact that his feet stink.
I'll tell you what, sorry, go on.
I just thought the dad was drawn pretty weird in this one. It almost... I'm not sure what exactly looked different, but it almost looked like he had a bit of a receding hairline. I didn't like it.
No.
Well, yeah. No. Also, there's the thing of like them complaining about the smartphone kid, as if to say, "Oh, bloody millennials!" But soon they'll be millennials if they're not millennials already, because they never
age. Right. It's like The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So other things of note did I put down?
The toilet seat. Well, not the toilet seat, but the toilet joke was my favourite, where when they're in Japan, the father sat in the toilet listening to all like the noise of the family getting breakfast and stuff. And when they go to Mexico, where the house doesn't have any walls and they can just see into the toilet, he's still sat on the toilet. I just that image of like... That angle of him just sat there, contemplating life, sat on the toilet, nobody batting an eyelid is great.
I think the way they do it, don't they like hide it at first that he's on the toilet? I just saw him in the background, and you go, wait, is he on the toilet?
Yeah.
And then you see it.
So he's promised like this wonderful home, but when he gets it, it's only partly built, and he's apparently is expected to finish building his own house. I don't think I've ever seen episodes about his company before. I assume that it's never really explained exactly what his company do in order for it to fill in any necessity.
It seems that way. Which seems just a generic office corporation.
Which seems like a much smarter thing than having you work at a nuclear power station and then have to just take on random jobs.
Always do stories about that.
So the other main characters we get introduced to, we've got Carolina, who's the teacher, who of course Shin-chan is instantly in love with.
I didn't think her dancing was very appropriate for a classroom of kindergartners. Is she moonlighting as a stripper?
Then we get this mariachi, who starts off very very heterosexual and then becomes very homosexual after he gets attacked by a cactus. I assume the joke is that it was all sort of like a macho act before, and that was his real personality.
That's how it comes across, yeah.
And is he supposed to be drawn like Antonio Banderas?
I'm going to say yes. That's a hard yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't just me then. And then we got Rainbow Mask, who's this wrestler who doesn't like wrestling and keeps on pretending that his knee's gone out. And that was my favourite joke at the end, when he owns up to the fact that he'd just been pretending that his knee was hurting. As if they hadn't caught on to it. Well, at one point they point out that it was the other knee you were hurting last time.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
And then we've got Smartphone Girl, who's this girl with a smartphone. Who's always looking at a smartphone like those teenagers do.
No.
She was the worst.
The dogs! Don't forget the bloody dogs!
Oh, and there's a gag of chihuahuas as well.
Oh, they're great.
They were scary.
Yeah. When they first drive into the town and they're all kind of like weighing up how much of a shithole or how it's not going to appeal to them, and little Shiro sees the dogs growling at him from like a shady alleyway, and I was like, oh, this is great. I wanted more of the dogs. More of the dogs, please.
Well, yeah, Shiro got his own sort of subplot going on.
Yeah, I could have watched that as a short film. That would have been nice. Because he kind of becomes their leader, and he's wearing like a Mexican flag bandana around his neck, and the others have the other colours making up the Mexican flag. It was
awesome.
Yeah.
I like the recurring gag of the fattest chihuahua. Whenever it barked, it would drop the bone out of its mouth.
Oh, no.
The same sound effect each time of it dropping and picking it back up again.
Very cute.
What about who was that guy who kept saying, that's a great question to everything?
Oh, that was the cactus expert. I don't know whether he was a real man, whether that was some sort of some other celebrity cameo or not. I don't know.
Yeah, he looked like he could be a caricature of someone. But I thought he was pretty funny. I liked when they were running away and he was still just like, that's a great question, Shin-chan.
Yes. And then he gets eaten.
No.
Well, yeah, because at no point do they explain that these people being eaten are safe until right to the very end. You just have to assume, like, all these people we've been introduced to are getting killed.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were gone for good. In a playful Shin-chan kind of way. That we're gone.
Yeah, I figured the only people who would get eaten were the ones that we don't really care about anyways.
Ikigamino was the cactus expert.
The cactus dude. And is that his real job? Does he do that in the real world?
I don't think so, no. No. It's played by a voice actor, by those things.
Darn it.
Oh, actually, I'm not sure he's a voice actor. I think he might be a real actor. Oh, no, he is a voice actor. He's the...
So science... I was going to ask about science. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish. Yeah.
Oh, they did the bus chase, right?
I think so, yeah.
Do you know... Did they have other involvement? You said that An Young Choi designed the characters?
Yeah, and Saki Uasa was one of the storyboard artists.
Oh,
I don't know whether it was just that scene or other things.
Interesting, because I like the bus chase.
More.
Yeah, the bus chase was my favorite part. But overall, I thought that it would have been better to have them do the climax like they did with the Robot Dad one. Because their sequences always seem like they just stand out so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird that two of these films now we've watched both have bus sequences. I think I prefer the one from the 2001 film.
Adult Empire?
Yeah. But this was pretty good as well. Uh-huh. Particularly the gag of the cactus sitting in the bus seat. Just bopping along to the music.
Like, Dad, your hands are quite spiny or scratchy. And then it's like,
Yes, I made this notable sequences. There's the cactus festival. There's a sequence in a supermarket. That bus sequence. They get to Cactus Land, which is this theme park the mayor's planning on opening, and he's built already. So fully
pretty
equipped,
poor planning,
except for food. You forgot to bring any food in. They've only got Coca-Cola. The carbonation will fill you up. There's a helicopter gets destroyed by the cactuses.
A bridge blows up.
As soon as the dynamite was introduced, that bridge is getting blown up.
Boom.
And then this final...
The fact that they cross over a bridge, period.
Yes.
You know it's going down.
Yeah, you've got to, it establishes that this is a town which could easily be trapped. And then this final plan where they fill the town's backup water supply into a giant bouncy cactus.
And is it the character Cacti? Is that like the mascot? That's...
Yeah. And then launch it at this the queen cactus that has spawned all these other cactuses.
Which all that bit is great. That last scene is top-notch.
That and the bus chase are my two favourite parts of the movie.
And it pays off the bit from Japan as well in that with the badge that he's got of their...
Yes! I was thinking, how is he going to pop it? Like, I couldn't remember the foreshadowing of the badge, but it all comes to see.
Yes, that's why I think it's quite well written in that sense, in the structure of it. But as I say, it has no emotional heft.
Well, it does when Kazama's running along next to the train at the start. I was like, oh no! Because he's been resenting seeing Shin-chan since he knew he was leaving. So we assume he hadn't saw him until that point, and he's just cracked, and he's got to see him off. And
so, would you prefer it cutting back to him in Japan every so often?
Yeah,
to see him.
Yeah, like
flashback to him crying.
Him and the kids, like, I don't know, trying to get to Mexico somehow to see Shin-chan.
Oh, that's
a film
cool,
in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting on planes and stuff.
And I think cutting back to him crying, though, might be a infringement of Shonen Ashibe's gimmick, because there's a character who does exactly that. That is pretty much is the entire point of the character, for at least for the beginning of the series.
They've really glossed over them going back to Japan. That just happens maybe 10 seconds over the ending credits.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Like, nobody needs to figure out how they get back.
Yeah, of course.
The story's over.
Yeah. You've already worked it out because they destroyed all the cactuses. Except maybe there's one inside a safe. So if they ever need to do a sequel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you which bit creased me every time. When the dad was trying to be the hero to a cactus that wasn't a monster cactus.
Yeah,
or like the inflatable cactus. Or
when the mayor comes in wearing a cactus hat. It's like,
yes.
What compelled him to put a cactus hat on in this situation?
Oh, man.
Which I assume was entirely the reason why we got that other scene of them back hiding out again. I feel like, what's the don't make any noise or these blind creatures will see? I'm sure it's loads of horror films.
Tremors, you can't make noise.
Tremors, yeah. In fact, Tremors may be the thing this resembles the most due to the desert setting.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I do like Tremors. Great film.
Yeah, so
which do you think is better?
Yeah, if we dub this, who do you want Fred Ward doing the voice of?
I think he could do the wrestler guy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that would be Fred Ward. It's been a while since I watched a Fred Ward film. He's still alive, isn't he? We're not cursing him by talking about him.
I hope so.
74 years old right now. Well, right now, as of the 30th of December, you're 74.
I'll better get this episode out quick. Right.
He doesn't look... I mean, I don't know when these pictures are from, but...
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's 74. Good.
But these pictures could be like 15 years old, for all we know.
Yeah, that is always a problem. Yeah, some celebrities are quite good at making sure there's only old photos of themselves on the internet.
I think he's aged well.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like Tremors. Right, okay, yes. back to this film. Anything else to add? There's a few... usually some other minor characters who get eaten. There's a butcher and a barman. I think they're the only ones we've not mentioned. And the other wrestlers, one of which gets a bit more time. He's got, like, the hearts on his forehead.
I don't remember him.
He's the one who wants to... who Rainbow Mask is supposed to be fighting. And then he's fighting at the end.
Strong. He is strong.
Oh, okay.
There's back to the scene with Kazama and the train. The thing that really got me with that, following on from that, is like that there's that emotional scene, and then the next scene is Shin-chan flirting with the staff at the airport. It was like the perfect kind of just amount of emotion, and then just tagged with a great joke.
Yeah, that.
And I think that's a good trait to have.
And I always like it when Shin-chan's drawn like crawling over people like some sort of creepy monster.
Yeah. The more Shin-chan gets creepy, the funnier it is for me.
Well, at the start, Shiro's throwing him a frisbee and he's running around on all fours, catching it like a dog. I was like, oh, this is great. This is great.
Yeah, I love any time Shin-chan like runs his finger up somebody's spine or blows in their ear or something.
There could have been more of that.
I don't know. I think they work in most of the... because they do the butt walk as well.
And then, Oh, yes, of course. Everybody does it.
Yeah. Not as much as in the one on the island. I think.
Oh, no.
That's got the most amount of butt walking I've seen.
I don't think anything will ever top that.
So, am I bringing you around on it, talking about it?
Is it
better than you initially thought?
I mean, I didn't hate it, but...
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, but it's typical me to be like... it wasn't as good as the other one that we watched. On its own merit, it's a good film. It's enjoyable, but I just felt it was lacking something. I don't really know. I can't pinpoint it. Because even if there was more emotion, I don't think it would have been this big, perfect Shin-chan film. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it was just the plot.
Just didn't... The killer cactus isn't the most compelling story.
Perhaps not. And as you say, it did go on a little bit. So maybe shrink it down a little bit. Or replace some scenes with dog scenes with them, the dog squad in Mexico doing stuff.
Yeah, I think I appreciated the fact it was going out to do a specific genre-style film with these characters.
That was pretty cool. Speaking of that, I don't know, maybe you're saving it for a different episode, but have you guys seen any of that Shin-chan Amazon miniseries thing?
I have seen some of it, yes, through less than legal means. I'm still waiting to be able to see it through legal. Has that new channel launched in America yet?
Not that I know of. Yeah. I haven't been keeping tabs on it because, as you say, I was just watching it through somewhat shady traffic.
Yeah. You're terrible. You two are terrible.
They promised it would be out when it finished in Japan. But apparently someone told me on Twitter that it's in English on the Spanish Amazon Prime. I was like,
right.
Broke the promise, so we broke the law.
Yes.
Oh, so you're only using a VPN?
No.
It's on.
Yeah, you can't use VPN through for Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it linked with your account?
It is, yeah. And also, Amazon Prime works different in different countries. So in the UK, you watch Amazon Prime through the normal Amazon website, but in Spain, you watch it through a special Amazon Prime website.
I didn't know that.
Somehow I've wound up with two Amazon Prime accounts, probably when I moved countries. I can never tell which one I'm logged into. It's really annoying.
Are you paying for two?
I'm not... Oh, maybe it's not. I just have two Amazon accounts. It's not Prime.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
one of them is Prime. But that's the annoying part, that I can never see which one it is until I try to watch something, and then I have to log into the other account.
Ugh. Effort. First world problem. So what's this new Shin-chan like? Tell me, because I'm not a monster.
They've currently done, I think, two, and there's a third one about to come, but they're like doing mini-series of like 10-minute episodes just for Amazon Prime. And the first one is a parody of Alien.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's, as you say, it's quite a genre parody.
Yeah. Mm. And the third one
That sounds great when it's only short.
Yeah. And the third one's a genre parody as well. It's Lone Wolf and Cub.
Oh.
And that one apparently is taken straight out of the comic.
What's the second one? I didn't even realize there was more than one.
I can't remember. I think they're just keeping it ongoing now, so presumably.
Is it with they all have Michio Mihara doing
it? I don't think so, no. He's on the last year's film. I know that he was one of the unit directors and one of the storyboard artists.
Oh, cool.
On the one where they go into like a dreamland.
That sounds promising for Shin-Chan.
Yes. And also for Mihara as well.
Yes.
Okay, right. I'll try and find where this Shin-Chan thing is. Let me look for Shin-Chan and Amazon. That will probably help.
Does it have its own name, or is it just regarded as like Crayon Shin-Chan?
I think it's Shin-Chan Gaiden or something.
Something like that. Yes.
Oh.
I think the first one's called Shinosuke versus Alien.
Yeah.
Here we go. Do do do. Second.
That's it. It's Crayon Shin-Chan Gaiden Alien versus Shinosuke.
Yeah.
So we were both right.
And this one is called. Crayon Shin-Chan Gaiden Toy Wars.
Toy Wars.
Is that the episode 2?
That's the part 2. It's based on the 41st volume of the original manga's Figure Wars story. The story begins when Toys of Oban, a character from a tokusatsu television show, becomes popular but also loses popularity quickly. Many unsold Oban toys are thrown away. A bolt of lightning strikes one of these toys one day and gives it life. Alongside other toys thrown away by people, Oban swears revenge on humans and attacks. At the same time, Oban's sworn enemy, Chukonen Kamen, is also given life. Chukonen Kamen, normally a middle-aged, overweight and depressed man, powers up by eating cup noodles. Alongside Shinosuke, he will fight to reclaim peace for the world. And that is directed by the guy who does the 2005 Doraemon anime.
Nice. And that's only 10 minutes long.
If it's like the first one, yes.
Yeah.
Episodes of 10 minutes.
Yeah, seven minutes, in fact, yeah.
That's perfect.
Yes, I'm pretty sure, I'm of the opinion, like most TV series, would be much better if they were below 12 minutes in length.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel that way as well.
As you get older.
Not enough time.
Yep.
Not enough time to watch stuff.
Will that help you working on TV programs as well, Aaron?
Yeah. It would make them easier if they were shorter. Easier to make them.
Yeah, you could make twice as many.
Yeah.
Anything else to add? Will you recommend
people watch
it?
Even though I was a bit negative on it, I would say it's still worth watching. It's still good Shin-Chan.
Yeah, why not?
I agree. Yeah, go ahead. Why not? Yeah, I mean, if you like, I'd say... I mean, my main attraction to it was Kimiko Ueno's script, because I do generally seem to be liking the stuff she writes. And so if you liked her plots on her scripts on Space Dandy, you'll probably enjoy this. I think you could probably watch it if you've never seen Shin-Chan before.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The first maybe 10 minutes or however long they're in Japan do a pretty good job of establishing all you really need to know.
Yeah, even though they throw in a bunch of characters who I don't think I've necessarily seen in episodes yet, but... You're not too lost, and once you get to Mexico, it's all new characters, and you're all good. Righty-ho. Yeah. That wraps up Dynamite in the Brain for another week. If you liked it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast That wraps up Dynamite in the Brain for another week. If you liked it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. Next week on the show... The Famous Anime Podcast, Episode 0. Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Bye!
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.